This is the Living Embodied Faith podcast, and I'm Caroline Vogel. In this podcast, we talk about how to not only think about our faith, but how might we allow the faith that we use with our lips, that we think about in our minds, how do we drop that, the roughly 12 inches down into our heart space? How does our faith move through our heart by the breath of the Holy Spirit? And then how does that faith resonate, move, and bless into every fiber and cell of our being so that we live in an embodied faith? I am a lover of the Holy Spirit. She has been a dear friend to me my entire life since I was a very young child. I have naturally kind of stayed in the flow of her spirit. There have been times in my life where I have been out of her flow for long periods or short periods of time. But it is my deepest yearning to always come back home to the flow of the spirit within me and around me, and to journey alongside other people who are yearning to be in and with the breath of the spirit as well. So, embodied faith is not just what we profess with our lips. You know, I'm starting to really not even care so much about how we think about faith or the words we use. For me, it's so much about living the fruits of the Spirit. How can I embody love for myself and for other people, for the world and for the planet? How can I live a joyful life where my actions, my thoughts, my words that I share with other people, and how I speak to myself, how is that joyful? How do I embody gentleness with myself and with other people? How do I embody kindness? Yes, for other people and animals and for creation, but also for myself. How do I self-regulate? When the Spirit talks about self-control, it's about self-regulation. How do I have ownership of myself and regulate in life-giving ways so that I can be a calm presence, again, to myself, but also to my kids and to the people in my life? So who do you want to be in the world? How are you embodying the faith that you profess with your lips? And maybe faith is a word that doesn't even resonate with you anymore. How do you embody the person you long to be in this world? I think it's a journey worth taking. I think it is the journey. And I invite you to journey alongside me in a deep sense of community. So wherever you are in the world, I hope that you will join me on this podcast and on Insight Timer meditating. If you live in or near the Knoxville area, I hope we'll find ways to connect in person, to find and make meaningful community with each other. So take care of yourselves. Enjoy this podcast episode about how seriously do we take the Holy Spirit? How seriously does the Spirit want us to take her? Tune in and see you soon. Good morning. It is January 14th, 2024. I am Caroline Vogel, and I'm going to offer a reflection that's actually going to be a doubleheader. So last week, always on January 6th, we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, and it's the three wise men following the star so boldly, so courageously, to find the baby Jesus and discover that the Messiah has indeed been born into the world. And then in the first Sunday after Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Yes, even Jesus was baptized. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And then he begins to baptize people, not only with water, but also with the power of the Holy Spirit. And his baptism is really something. It's something for us to pay attention to because it really instructs us about our own baptism. It helps us to understand what we are receiving in baptism. And it doesn't stop there. The receiving doesn't just happen that one day. It's a continuation of receiving as we move through our lives. And then This Sunday, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, is a reading where Jesus starts to call the disciples. He calls them by name and he encourages them to follow him. And when people start asking questions, they say, "Come and see. Come and see." So I want to start with the collects. These are collects. They're Episcopal collects, but I have changed them a bit to be, I think, a little bit more congruent and aligned with the readings themselves and with a deep theology of love and openness to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's open with a sense of prayer. You can close your eyes if you want to, or bow your head, or if you're driving, just keep on driving with your eyes open, but receive these words into your heart. Let us pray. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all of us will hear our loving God saying to us also, "You are my beloved." And may we receive the blessing of your Spirit, moving in and through us and guiding our lives in nourishing and life-giving ways. Amen. Prayer number two, because I told you it was a double whammy today. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word, grace, and love, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory. May we open to the light that is already within us. May we receive the light God is offering us. And with mindfulness and wild abandon, may we share this holy light with all those who we encounter. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start with this gospel reading from Mark, where it talks about John the Baptist appears in the wilderness and he proclaims a baptism of repentance for all the ways we turn away from God. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem, everybody was going out to him in the wilderness and they were being baptized by him in the River Jordan. And they were confessing, they were sharing all the ways that they turn away from God and choose their own will and probably get themselves in a lot of trouble. And now John, the gospel says, was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locust and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And then it says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open apart and the Spirit descending like a dove descended upon him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. With you, I am well pleased.'" So, I love this gospel reading. You all probably think, Caroline always says that. She's always saying, "I love this gospel reading." But I do. I love it because this is one of the few places we have in Scripture where we see the Trinity literally engaging, intertwining, dancing together. You have Jesus in the water being baptized by John. You have the Spirit descending from heaven upon him. You can see that movement of God coming in the form of the Spirit resting upon Jesus as he's in that Jordan River. And there are other gospels that elaborate more on why this was so significant, because it was prophesied that the Spirit would come and rest and stay with the one that was to come, the Messiah. So the Spirit descending and resting upon Jesus. And then we have God's voice. So we have Jesus in the water, The movement of God in the form of the Spirit resting upon Jesus like a dove, which is a sign of a blessing, right? Blessing what's happening in the water. And we have the voice of God coming from heaven. These words are so significant. You are my son, the beloved. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus came to enlighten us, enlighten our minds, stir our hearts, to be able to see God more clearly in our lives, and to be able to live in closer union with God within our lives. And so, there's something really to learn. That Jesus' baptism is special, of course, because it's Jesus' baptism, and it informs how we think about our own lives. What if we took seriously that the Holy Spirit descends from heaven, not only at our baptism, but on a regular basis, maybe even daily? The Holy Spirit descends from heaven and rests upon us, blesses our words, blesses our actions, blesses our goodness, and comes so that we may be guided forward in the flow of the Spirit through our everyday lives, not just these special, huge, big moments and big feast days, but always. What if we expected, we relied upon the movement of God in the form of the Holy Spirit to breathe in and through us, to descend upon us and bless us in daily ways? What if? What if we opened our hearts every morning to God saying to us, "You are my daughter, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Imagine how that might juice you for the day. Imagine how that might set your day on a different, more life-giving course. If every morning you opened yourself to hearing that loving God saying, "You are mine. I call you beloved," like big B, beloved. "I call you beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Christianity has gotten so caught up in making us feel so bad and wrong about ourselves, reminding us or pointing out where we're always getting it wrong or missing the mark. It can invoke tremendous guilt and crazy shame. And there is something to be said for being held accountable for good and righteous actions. And the reality is that none of us are perfect. We're human beings. We're gonna make mistakes. Can we stay awake to where we're making mistakes, not beating ourselves up for making mistakes, for being human, using it as an opportunity, like I say when I teach meditation every morning on Insight Timer, I remind people that when their mind drifts, not to beat up on yourself that your mind is drifting, that's just a mind being a mind. But how might we notice where the mind goes and then with kindness, with firmness, with a sense of compassion, we draw the attention back to the body and to the breath? Well, it's the same with God. When we notice that we veer from a loving God, when we veer from the flow of the Spirit in our lives, when we veer from the goodness that flows within us, no need to beat up on ourselves. We're just being human. And we say to ourselves, "Oh, wait a minute. I've gotten out of the flow. I've moved away from God's goodness within us, within me." And so that we very intentionally turn back. We turn our hearts back to our loving God, to our own souls, to the goodness of the Spirit flowing within us. And we again align with God and the love of Jesus and the movement of the Spirit within us. We claim our belovedness once again. Once again, we open the ears of our hearts to receive the truth, the wisdom that God is pleased with us. So we're not beating ourselves up for being human. We're not beating ourselves up for making mistakes, because that's what humans do. That's like beating yourself up for your heart beating, or for your lungs breathing, or for your mind thinking. The question is, what do we do in the opportunities we have to realize, oh, I've gotten out of the flow, or whew, I've moved away from what feels like the will of God in my life. How do I ease up in my body and allow myself to get back into the flow of the Spirit, into the flow of God's goodness that is moving in and through us? So I invite you to think about how you might open in a daily way to the presence of the Spirit descending upon you and blessing you. You know, it's maybe not even just at the start of the day. It's maybe throughout your whole day. You're opening to and allowing that movement of the Spirit to guide your everyday life. Opening to the voice of God that's reminding you that you are deeply beloved, that you are God's son and daughter, and that with you, God is well pleased. So then we shift in this double header to the Gospel of John, and where Jesus is starting to call. Jesus decides to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he says to Philip, follow me. And then Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and says to him, hey, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And you know what Nathanael says? Nathanael says to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Don't you love that? I mean, isn't that so human to just immediately take the skeptic side and be like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what does Philip say to him? Philip says to Nathanael, hey, come and see. So he doesn't try to start convincing him. He doesn't try to start winning him over with all of these stories. He says, come and see. What an invitation. Come and see for yourself, Nathanael. Come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming, he says to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Ever the skeptic, that Nathanael, where did you get to know me? And Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. He says, very truly, I tell you, you will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So there isn't this big winning over. There isn't all this justification. There isn't this, you have to believe this certain things, and you have to believe every story I'm going to tell you. It's a bold and courageous, beautiful, loving, kind, compassionate invitation. Come and see. Just come and see. See for yourself. See what you think. Allow that Spirit to move through your body. Allow the voice of God to move through you. Remind you that you're beloved. Come and see all the things that Jesus is doing, all the ways he's teaching us to live in alignment with a deeply loving, kind, compassionate, strong, beautiful God. Come and see. So this week I was talking to a mentor of mine. She's a new mentor, and I have come to have just tremendous gratitude for our conversations. And I told her that I've been having this conversation with the Holy Spirit. this conversation that goes something like this. So, Holy Spirit, we've had this really wonderful and close relationship for most of my life. It was tested greatly over the last year and a half, 2 years or so, in very difficult, detrimental ways. And so we're getting back into knowing each other, figuring out what happened in that time of not being in a good flow with one another, yet thinking that I was, feeling tricked by the darkness of life. More on that in another episode. And I've been saying to her, how seriously do you want me to take you? How seriously do you want me to take you, Holy Spirit? It's a question that brings tears to my eyes because it's so honest. Because really what I'm saying is, you know, do you want me to compartmentalize you, Holy Spirit? Do you want me to follow you and trust you in these certain aspects of my life and then just kind of manage on my own these other aspects of my life? Or am I to, in every aspect of my life, seek and serve you, follow you, the breath of God, this life-giving flow that has been known to me since I was a young child? So my mentor and I had a really good laugh. We had a really good laugh, and she thought this question was quite humorous. And when she laughed, I laughed too, because what we realized, and she said, is, I think the Holy Spirit is saying to you, really seriously. I want you to take me really seriously. And I know that deep in my heart, and it both fills me with joy and it also terrifies me, if I'm honest. There's also this reading from today's readings in the lectionary. And it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? Did you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? So I challenge that theology a little bit. I think we are both our own because God gave us agency and God gave us the ability to take care of these really amazing vessels that we've been given, and that there is something of our agency and humanity that taps into, yes, I have a part to play. This is mine, and it matters what I do with my body. It matters what I do with my mind. It matters how I am with my heart and my spirit and my soul. And owning that part of this covenantal relationship means that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit breathes in and through us and guides our lives. And we have a choice. We have a choice about whether we're going to respect the fact that our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits are a temple of the Holy Spirit within us. We have a choice of how seriously we're going to take the Holy Spirit, not just in some aspects of our lives, but in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. We get too open to this wisdom that sometimes maybe it feels like it descends from heaven and rests upon us like a blessing, like it did at Jesus' baptism. Maybe some days it feels like a deep awareness that we know our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and we can feel the movement of the Spirit moving in and through us and grounding us in peace and grace and love and wisdom. And maybe the presence of the Spirit comes to us in the stillness within our beings. Maybe it comes through something our best friend says to us that takes us by surprise, fills us with wonder, gives us this nudge of, that clearly was a message she got from the divine. A love note coming from God through someone that I trust, and God knows that I trust. Maybe the Holy Spirit comes to you through the form of a dream. Maybe the Holy Spirit comes to you through a sense of knowing. You write something in your journal that surprises you and fills you with wonder, and you go, could that be? Could that be? Could that be the breath of the Spirit sharing wisdom and truth with me? There are so many ways for us to connect and align with the movement of the Holy Spirit. It is one of our deepest gifts as human beings that, A, we are not alone, that there is a loving God who is always, always with us, who offers the advocate. As Richard Rohr reminded me recently in his podcast about the Holy Spirit, our defense attorney. The Holy Spirit is constantly defending us, running interception on our behalf, loving us and protecting us, regardless of whether we can see it, acknowledge it, own it, claim it, or say thank you for it. The Spirit is alive and well and is acting as our advocate. And so then we have choices. Are we going to follow? Are we going to trust? Are we going to lean back and enjoy the ride? Allow ourselves to be carried by this life-giving force that moves in and through us and is just deeply yearning to carry our lives into meaningful, sacred spaces and places. So I wonder with you. I wonder in community, not alone, not just me and God anymore, but I wonder in community with all of you, what is the Holy Spirit up to in our lives? Where is she taking us? Who are the people that are called to journey alongside us, to journey with us with a deep sense of community? Becca Stevens had this great post on Instagram this week. I loved it. And it showed her with a bulletin board or like a whiteboard. And let me see if I can pull it up and find it. She was talking about community and the importance of community. And there she is. It says, run to community, don't walk. This is where things change. Run to community, don't walk. This is where things change. And she says, without love, every revolution is hollow. Without love, every revolution is hollow. These are deep and abiding, meaningful words. As we follow the Spirit, we do so aligning, yes, within our own beings and doing so in community. So let's go. Let's go. Let's go and see together. Let's take the Holy Spirit seriously and let's enjoy the ride. Let's have fun. Let's allow ourselves to be filled with wonder and joy. Let us not be fooled by the darkness of this world. May we not be carried into darkness. Let us remember that the light always wins. The light always wins. So if you're looking for a sense of community, I'm trying to figure that out here in Knoxville, Tennessee. What does healthy, whole community following the breath of the Spirit look like? So stay tuned, because I'm trying to figure that out with the breath of the Spirit and the wisdom of the Spirit moving and some really wonderful friends in my midst. And wherever you are in the world, join us on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time for Breathing with the Spirit on Insight Timer. Breathing with the Spirit at 8:30 Eastern on Insight Timer. I welcome you and your friends and anyone who wants to come and see. Let's breathe with the Spirit. Let's get still and align with the breath of the Spirit in our midst. And let us be carried forward in goodness. Let us have all these fruits of the Spirit to share with the world, because the world desperately needs it. Peace and joy and gentleness and love and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. You know, let's just learn to self-regulate. There's beautiful things in the world to be had. Let's do it together. So I'll see you on Insight Timer, 8:30 Eastern. You can find information on my website, carolinevogel.com. You can go to straight to Insight Timer. It's insighttimer.com/CCVogel. C like cat, Vogel. And you'll find all the links to the live meditations. I'm also doing a 21-day challenge where we're starting off the new year with a great sense of peace, building our daily practice of meditation online together. This morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, we had 112 people. It was fabulous. So lots of room for community online together. And if you live in Knoxville, Tennessee, stay tuned, or surrounding areas. I'll be in touch. The Spirit is moving me to build community where we can be our authentic selves and live lives of integrity, following the Spirit in community. I look forward to seeing you online, in person, or however the Spirit moves you. Take really good care of yourselves and know that you're not alone.